In modern terminology, little of a modern lesson here, an Easter egg isn't necessarily a chocolate thing, but it's a hidden message. It's an image or a picture usually inserted into films. So the nerdy ones have to look out for it and see what the hidden message is. So little things hidden by the animators or the film producers, like an Easter egg hunt that you have to search and find. Let me give you an example. Turn on the flicker. There we go. In every Pixar film, you will see somewhere in the film, I don't know if you can see on the screen, the letter A followed by the numbers 113. Some of you are going, I'm confused already. It's in every Pixar film. And so some people spend their time looking out for this. It's the sort of thing, I'm a nerd, I like this sort of thing in every Pixar film. Why A113, you may ask? Because that's the number on the animator's classroom door at the headquarters in Pixar. It's there in every film, you just have to look for it. And in every Pixar film, there is a hint to what the next film is going to be. Somewhere hidden in the film, there might be a Finding Nemo reference, or a Mickey Mouse reference, or something else. There are Easter eggs in all sorts of films and songs. If you're a fan of Taylor Swift, any Taylor Swift fans? My daughter tells me that there are Easter eggs, hidden little messages in pretty much all Taylor Swift songs. I know nothing about that, but I do know a little bit about films. So, they're little hidden messages that point to something deeper of value, that point to what's going to happen next. And as I was thinking about that, I was thinking, well, isn't that similar to the point of prophecy in the Bible? Things that are going to point to what happens next. So up till Easter, we are looking at the Old Testament and the New Testament, and we are looking for traces of Jesus that look forward to the Easter story. Things that maybe are slightly concealed, maybe slightly hidden, that we're going to find that look to the Easter Jesus as we travel to Easter together. We're going to look for traces of Jesus. And each week, we're going to pair together an Old Testament reading that links to a New Testament reading that says something about who Jesus was, who this Easter King is. And today, we have got two readings. So if you've got a paper copy of your Bible, you need one finger in Genesis 3 and one finger in Romans 5. There are Bibles on the window ledges if you want a paper Bible, or turn your phones on, but promise not to do Sudoku. Thank you. So the lovely Paul, husband extraordinaire, is going to come and read our first reading. We're going back to the beginning, Genesis chapter 3. Thank you, Paul.
Now the snake was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?" The woman said to the snake, "We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say you must not eat fruit from the tree in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die. You will not certainly die, the snake said to the woman. Your God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you'll be like God, knowing good and evil. When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food, and pleasing to the eye, and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized that they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" He answered, "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, so I hid." And he said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree from which I commanded you not to eat?" The man said, "The woman you put here with me, she gave me some fruit from the tree, and I ate it." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this you have done?" The woman said, "The snake deceived me, and I ate." So the Lord God said to the snake, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and all wild animals. You will crawl on your belly, and you will eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel." To the woman he said, "I will make your pains in childbearing very severe. With painful labor you will give birth to children. Your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you." To Adam he said, "Because you listened to your wife and ate fruit from the tree about which I commanded you, you must not eat from it. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil you will eat food from it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow you will eat your food until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you will return."
Thank you. He was thinking, "Well, that's a cheerful reading you've asked me to do, Louise." Thanks, Paul. Let's pray together. Loving God, thank you for your word. Thank you that it's alive and active. Holy Spirit, may God's word speak into our hearts this morning, into our minds today. May Jesus be glorified in all that I say and in all that we hear today. We ask in his name. Amen. Amen. So we are looking for traces of Jesus throughout time. So our first reading is about Adam and Eve messing up in the garden. We all probably know that really well. So our second reading connects to what we've just heard. And it's in Romans chapter 5, if you have a Bible, or if you're following along, not on Sudoku on your phone. Romans chapter 5, verses 12 to 19. Those verses are entitled "Death Through Adam, Life Through Christ." Let's read those together. "Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin. And in this way, death came to all people because all sinned. To be sure, sin was in the world before the law was given, but sin is not charged against anyone's account where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from the time of Adam to the time of Moses, even over those who did not sin by breaking a command, as did Adam, who is a pattern for the one to come. But the gift is not like the trespass. For if the many died by the trespass of the one man, how much more did God's grace and the gift that came by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, overflow to the many? Nor can the gift of God be compared with the result of one man's sin. The judgment followed one sin and brought condemnation, but the gift followed many trespasses and brought justification. For if by the trespass of the one man, death reigned through that one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and of that gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ? Consequently, just as one trespass resulted in condemnation for all people, so also one righteous act resulted in justification and life for all people. For just as through the disobedience of the one man, the many were made sinners, so also through the obedience of the one man, the many will be made righteous. Clear? Crystal clear? Some of you are going, huh? Romans has some hefty theology. Some hefty words and concepts there. But some really important ones. So to understand it, I thought we'd illustrate it in a practical way. Some of you have after 8 mints. If you have an after 8 mint before you, hold it up. Okay. Who has eaten theirs? Nobody yet. Excellent. So, if you have an after 8 mint, we have a challenge this morning. And the challenge is to take out your after 8 mint. Do not eat it. And to turn your paper wrapper inside out, hang on, don't do it yet, without ripping it. But there is a catch. You can only eat the chocolate if every single one of you does the task correctly. If one of you rips the paper, I come round and collect the chocolate back in. Go for it. Encourage those sitting next door to you. There you go, Elizabeth. So you've got to turn your wrapper inside out without ripping it, and then you can eat. If it's ripped or torn in any way, Philip, have you ripped yours? You're afraid you have, right, everyone? The deal is over. Philip has ripped his, and who else has ripped theirs? Lots of you, it's not just Philip. Okay, that's it. That's it, challenge over. One of you has failed. Oh dear, that was the rules. If one of you fails, then I get the chocolate. Do you know what? I'm feeling generous. I will let you eat your chocolate. But did you do it? We have a righteous one, do we? Have we? Let me check. You see, this is the doctor. There we go, Dr. Dave. Clearly, hands that work very carefully. So, the point is this. All I can hear is a rustle. You didn't earn the chocolate. But because I'm good, I'm giving you it anyway. Even though you, useless lot, did not deserve it. It's a gift of grace. Even though you didn't do what I originally asked, instead of getting what you deserved, which is me collecting the chocolate back in, you get something good. And that's what our two readings say together this morning. And that might be the only thing you remember. But that's okay, because that's the sermon in a practical nutshell. We don't get what we deserve. That's the point. That's what we've just heard from Romans chapter 5. Instead of getting what we deserve, we get something good. That's the gospel. Our two passages are linked together. We heard about Adam and Eve, the first Adam. He's living in paradise. He's got the Garden of Eden. It's like every brilliant National Trust garden you've ever been in and more. He has everything he could need. He has a wife. He is able to name the animals. There's a platypus. That was a good day. There's a tarantula. Less than good day. I don't like spiders. He has everything. He is able to walk beside God. Wow. He has everything he could possibly want. But there's one rule. It's not do not rip the after eight wrapper. It is this. Do not eat the fruits of that tree. You have everything, just don't do that one thing. There's always a choice. A choice to obey God. And Adam had that choice, as did Eve. A choice to obey that one rule. A choice to obey based on what they know of God. Would they trust the character and the faithfulness of God because of everything they have seen him do, creating this wonder of paradise and Eden? Or would they not? One choice. They listen to the voice of evil, personified in the serpent. They make a choice to step away from what they know, the faithfulness and the trust of God, and they choose to eat the fruit. And Romans 5 says that causes a chain reaction. Romans 5:12 says that's the moment that sin and death enter the world. We heard this. Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, and in this way death came to all people because all sinned. That's the moment when the choice causes a chain reaction. The choice to say, we don't trust you enough, God. The choice to say, that looks attractive and we're going to chance that. The choice to say, we know what's best and you do not. That's the moment when things go wrong, the Bible suggests. And a choice is made to turn away from the trust and the faithfulness of God. And although Paul is talking about Adam at this point, he doesn't actually talk about Eve. Eve gets off the hook. Adam does not. It's the same for every human. We all have choices, don't we, to make. Earlier on in Romans, Romans 3:23, we're reminded that none of us are off the hook, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That says every single one of us are rat bags. That is our nature. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. It doesn't say that we're not capable of good, but it says we are capable of sin. We're capable of not getting it right. We're capable of messing up. All of us have the shadow of sin over us. Not just Adam and Eve, every single one of us. God loves us and makes us to be in relationship with him. But time and time again, we ignore that, don't we? We ignore his loving limits. We may not have been in that paradise garden in Eden, but we would still have fallen short. So Houston, we have a problem. And a problem that needs an answer. Because God is holy, and he can't tolerate sin. But still wants us to be close to him. Still wants us to be in a relationship with him. There has to be a way to bridge the gap. And here's the Easter egg in verse 14. Nevertheless, death reigned from the time of Adam to the time of Moses, even over those who did not sin by breaking a command, as did Adam, who is a pattern for the one to come. There's a problem that needs a solution, and Adam is the pattern for the one to come. Are you with me? Good. The Greek word for pattern isn't what we would think of as pattern, you know, like a sequence, red, blue, red, blue, but more like a type, more like an example. Something that points to someone to come. It's an Easter egg, like those Disney Pixar ones. Well, more it's a prophecy fulfilled. Adam's behavior and Eve allow sin and death to have free reign. but one is coming who will deal with that forever, who will fulfill and complete the pattern that the first Adam failed on. That's what Romans 5 says. And the one who is to come is... Yay, you're awake! It's Jesus, of course it is. The second and the last Adam. This essentially is the gospel this morning. And just like Adam and Eve have a choice, we do too. This is the gospel. Verse 19 says this: for just as through the disobedience of the one man, the many were made sinners, that's Adam it's talking about, so also through the obedience of one man, Jesus, many will be made righteous. If the band want to come up now, that would be a good opportunity. Just like Adam and Eve had a choice in the Garden of Eden, every single one of us have a choice. We can live in the shadow of the first Adam, or we can live in the light of the last Adam, Jesus. We can decide that we are best in charge of our own lives. And there's many days when I think that to be true, and many days when I mess it up and know that that's not true. We can prefer the voice of the snakes of our world that challenge who we are, that comment about our identity, that speak lies about our focus or our destination. Or we can live in the light of the second and last Adam, Jesus. And his voice brings hope and freedom and joy and eternity. The first Adam brings us death by sin. The last Adam, Jesus, brings life by his death. So that reminds us of what's to come at Easter. Our two readings compare and contrast the call and the cost of the gospel, that we don't get what we deserve. You lot did not deserve. You're after 8 minutes. You failed at the task, apart from Dr. Dave, whose halo now is seen for everyone. Apart from him, you lot failed, because it actually was a really hard task. It's a hard party game. Romans remind us that we don't get what we deserve. But the rescue plan is Jesus. The rescue plan for what we do deserve, which is death, is Jesus. And right from the first Adam, there's a plan for our salvation. And that rescue plan is the cross. Jesus' death, carrying the sins, carrying our shame, carrying our baggage, carrying our mess. We don't deserve that. We're given that as a gift of grace. And he comes back to life again. He rises again and he reigns forever. The evil nature we inherit from Adam is replaced by the goodness of Jesus. Sin comes we hear in verse 19, through one man, but righteousness. Righteousness is making us right before God, comes through another. Jesus means that we get what we don't deserve. So as we come into communion, I want to ask you a question. Where are you living right now? Are you living in the shadow of Adam or in the light of Jesus? Because every day we have choices to make about the people that we're going to be, about whose voice we listen to the most, and about whose footsteps we follow in. Where are you living right now? Are you living in the shadow of Adam? Are you living in the light of Jesus? If you don't know the answer to that question, let's talk about it over coffee. Come and grab me. Where are you living right now? And if you can't say this morning, Jesus is my Lord and Savior, and you want to know more about that, let's have a conversation over coffee and let's chat that through. Today, as we approach the table, we are reminded that the plan has always been for Jesus and the cross and the rescue of humanity by those who trust in Jesus. Let's pray.